Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace." This is the word of the Lord.
And of your precious word, give us, we pray, eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts that respond to you, even this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit. Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see so many people here. I wasn't sure how many would actually be here. It's lovely to see those who are on the live stream, or at least I hope it's lovely for you to see me. And may I wish you all a very happy new year. Can I thank you very much indeed for praying for us, if you did. Anne and I are just back from 3 weeks in Switzerland, where we had the privilege of leading services in the English church in Zermatt over Christmas and New Year. And as you can see, we have returned more or less safe and sound and in our right minds, and we were marvelously protected. And we did have very good numbers. So if you were praying, we are most grateful to you. Thank you so much. The theme for our services in Zermatt this Christmas was Jesus, the hope of the world. On our journey out, we had to spend a night in Zurich en route. And over breakfast at the hotel, we fell into conversations with a delightful Kenyan woman whose name was Paris. We asked how life was for her in Zurich, and she was interested to know what we were doing there. We told her what we were going to be doing in Zermatt, and she was a delightful Christian sister who belonged to an African-led church in Zurich. And we asked her how life was for her in Zurich. And she looked at us and said, "Well, it's a strange mixture." She said, "I live in the midst of people who have so much and yet who have so little." And she spoke of the despair and the depression that she found in her neighbors. One of her neighbors had just taken his own life the previous week. Jesus, the hope of the world. Luke's gospel begins by telling us the story of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so marvelous is it that Luke's story is wound around a number of songs. We sing, don't we, when we are thrilled and excited with something. I don't know whether you're someone who sings in the shower. Do you sing in the shower? It's a very dangerous occupation. You can end up swallowing more than you expect, can't you? But some people sing in the shower. Last Sunday, Dave was drawing our attention to the song that Mary sang. Mary, the one whom all generations will call blessed. You may remember that the angels sang on the night that Jesus was born. As Mary sang a song rejoicing at the prospect of a king, the angels sang of the coming of peace. Simeon, the aged Simeon who took the Christ child in his arms, sings at the prospect of the coming of salvation. Anna, the prophetess, the lady prophet, Anna rejoices at the coming of redemption and speaks to all those in the temple about it. And from the earliest days, Christians have joined in those songs. They've been incorporated into regular Christian services, sometimes under their Latin names. So Mary's song, the Magnificat, Simeon's, the Nunc Dimittis. Well, this morning we are going to look at what is called Zechariah's song. Now, Chris has already read it for us. If you could have it open, I think that would help me, and it might even help you. In the Bibles, it's page 1027. It is Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and the last dozen or so verses. So what we did in Zermatt was we took one of these songs each service around this theme, Jesus, the hope of the world, and I'm bringing to you Zechariah's song this morning. I suppose this is the least well-known of the songs. It deserves to be better known. Zechariah was singing, of course, at the prospect of the one who we know as John the Baptist. Now, you may remember Zechariah was a priest. He served in the temple in Jerusalem. He was married to Elizabeth. They were well on in years, a godly and faithful couple, and yet they had not been granted the gift of children. Well, it happens, doesn't it? It happens. They didn't take it as a sign of God's displeasure. But one day, Zechariah has a bit of a surprise. He's on duty in the temple, and he encounters an angel. Now, angels don't pop up all that often in the Bible, and when they do, it's always highly significant. This particular occasion, the angel speaks a message to Zechariah. You know that the idea of an angel is that an angel is a messenger, and tells Zechariah that he and Elizabeth are to have a son, and that this son is to be called John, which was not a family name, and unusual, therefore. Zechariah, if you recall the story, finds it a bit difficult to believe that, and as a result of which, Zechariah is struck dumb. He's not allowed to speak, and he doesn't speak until the child is born. The lesson there is, if you bump into an angel, don't argue with an angel. All right? Angels are not to be messed with. Well, marvelously, Elizabeth conceives, and you may remember Elizabeth is cousin to Mary. The angel Gabriel then goes to Mary and announces to her that she will bear the Christ child. And you remember the marvelous thing when Elizabeth visits Mary. Well, the son born to Elizabeth is indeed eventually named John. And as Zechariah approves of that, so his ability to speak is restored to him. And he speaks words that are said here to be prophecy. That is, he speaks a word from the Lord about the significance of what is happening. So, verse 67. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. To be a prophet, one needs to be filled with the Spirit. And said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Zechariah's first words are about God and about what God is doing. This God is bringing salvation. He has come and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us. And in doing that, Zechariah understands that God is fulfilling ancient promise. Those covenant promises that go all the way back to the time of Abraham, that the prophets have spelled out through the centuries, all of that is now being fulfilled. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight, the carol says, doesn't it, of Bethlehem. And so Zechariah understood that these hopes from all the years were now being fulfilled, that God was acting to fulfill those ancient promises and according to his covenant, and that characteristically this would produce mercy and rescue and deliverance and an ability to serve him without fear. Now that's the first part of Zechariah's marvelous song from verse 68 down to verse 75. The second half of the song speaks of the child. And you, my child, this is not the Lord Jesus, this is his son, Elizabeth's son. This is John, who we know as John the Baptist. And you, my child, you will be a prophet. Interesting, isn't it, how significant prophecy is to Luke in the infancy narrative. Zechariah speaks words of prophecy. Anna is a prophetess. Here, John the Baptist will be called a prophet of the Most High. Why? Because he will go on before the Lord, as Isaiah predicted, to prepare the way for him. And John's job is going to be to give people knowledge. He's going to speak of God and his love and his mercy. He's going to speak of man and his sin and his need. He's going to speak of Christ and the salvation that he has come to bring. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Why? Because of the tender mercy of our God. In God's mercy, the sun will shine, light shining on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Again, the language of the prophet Isaiah, all to guide our feet into the path of peace, which gave rise to the song of the angels. If you turn the page to chapter 3, and to verse 3, you leap on 30 years. And we learn of the launch of the public ministry of John the Baptist. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's ministry was a ministry of change. Repentance is about change. It's a change of mind. That is what the word means in the Greek, a change of mind. John's ministry was a ministry of change. The hope of change is what lies at the heart of Zechariah's song. The hope of a king in Mary's song, the hope of peace in the song of the angels, the hope of salvation in the song of Simeon, the hope of redemption on the lips of Anna, the hope of change on the lips of Zechariah. But can change really happen? It's an important question, isn't it, at the start of a new year. Can change really happen in the life of an individual? What changes would you like to see in your life this year? Can change really happen in the life of a family or in a nation? Can change really happen in our world? It was in 1985 that I first met Desmond Tutu. He was at that point Dean of Johannesburg, and I was the newly arrived Anglican minister. On the retirement of the bishop who'd invited me there, Desmond became our bishop. In addition to his courage, his sense of humour, and his deep Christian principles, and I mention him particularly because you would have noticed his death and maybe read his obituary over the Christmas season. One of the most striking qualities he had was his belief in the possibility of change. Now, those who remember these things will recall that in the 1980s, South Africa was in the grip of apartheid, and frankly, change didn't appear likely. Desmond was fully aware of the scale and the seriousness of the evil that was apartheid. He often spoke of how both sides, both white and black, were victims of apartheid. Apartheid dehumanized its victims, but it also dehumanized its perpetrators. But one of the striking things was that Desmond believed that God was in the business of change. And so instead of despair, the churches prayed. Well, as they say, the rest is history. First century Judea, under Roman rule, Israel was an oppressed nation under military occupation. Was there any hope for change? Zechariah believed there was. Can change really happen? The clue is in verse 67. God, the Holy Spirit, is in the business of change. The prophets knew that. Zechariah knew it. John the Baptist knew it. Mary's son, Jesus, explained that the work of the Spirit of truth would be to convince of truth as well as convicting of sin. That when the Spirit came, he would draw men and women, old and young, from every people and nation on the face of the planet to faith in the salvation that he had come to bring. When we become real Christians, we change, don't we? We change to believing the truth of the gospel. We change to acknowledging the truth of our sin. We change to putting our faith and trust not in ourselves, but in the saving work of Jesus. We will celebrate that this morning as we break bread and share wine in remembrance of him. Yes, and as we feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And how about as we go on in our walk as believers? How are you going to get on this year? Well, God the Holy Spirit is in the business of change. He wants and will work to enable us to grow in our confidence in him. Oh, we may simultaneously have less confidence in ourselves. We may become more aware of our sin, but we're more aware of his love, of his kindness, of his goodness, of his patience. That is the work of the Spirit who changes us. The hope of change. From the earliest days, the Christian church has taken these songs and used them together. If we are relatively unfamiliar with Zechariah's song, well, then we are the poorer for it, frankly. Because we are meant to be singing these songs as songs of hope. The hope of a king, the hope of peace, the hope of salvation, the hope of redemption, yes, and the hope of change. And it's prophecy, which means that it is a word from the Lord. Well, I've got three suggestions for what we can take from this. Let me say, for anyone here today, anyone listening to us online, who's not yet a real Christian, verses 78 and 79 are true. They really are true. God is a God of mercy. God's love will shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. God's goodness will guide our feet into the path of peace. And how? Verse 77, through the knowledge of salvation, through the forgiveness of our sins. That is the gospel, is it not? And we go into the new year buoyed by this marvelous gospel. And so for anybody who's not yet embraced it, what a marvelous step that would be into a new year. And if you're sitting here this morning, already a believer, well, how marvelous that is. What a great way it is to begin a new year. We need, don't we, as we walk into this new year, to take on board the fact that God's Holy Spirit is in the business of change all our days, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. And so make sure that you're not getting stuck in a bog. You go walking in the high peaks this time of year, it's very easy to get stuck in a bog. Well, we want to be lifting our feet, don't we? And positively embracing the joy that is in Christ. Lastly, our outlook for the world. Is there hope for change? Well, it's easy to feel hopeless at the moment, isn't it? I think so. But God is still God. Jesus has indeed come, and the Spirit is at work. So don't despair. Do pray, and maybe like me, listen and learn to our Kenyan sister in Zurich. For she said how delighted she was that we were going to spend this time in Zermatt, proclaiming the gospel in the mountains. And in the midst of the despair of her neighbors, she said that she had resolved to love people more and to speak more of Jesus as the hope of the world. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for that Kenyan sister. We ask that you would sustain her indeed in her witness there in Zurich. We ask that for ourselves in our own circles, that this year we may be those who continue to walk in hope and who speak of Jesus as the hope of the world. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in the business of change. Please may he change us And please may he be at work in this world. Give us, we pray, eyes to see and hearts to believe, that we may be ourselves rescued from despair and our feet guided into the path of peace, that we may serve you all our days. We ask for your great name's sake. Amen.